One-on-one, communications in the digital age. I'm Gloria Moraga. Here's to a great, productive year, everybody. Communications in the year 2020. The ability to connect, to communicate with each other face-to-face, one-on-one, is one of our most precious attributes as human beings. When was the last time you communicated with someone and really listened to what they were saying? Did you connect? Did you get it? Did they get you? For the next couple of episodes, the subject will be work bullies. In this episode, we will hear Anthony's story. Targeted by Work Bullies: Stories from Hell is my short 90-page nonfiction book. In it, I tell the stories of five workers, including Anthony's. It's on sale on Amazon. Please get it. I want you to know I wrote, and I'm talking about bullying as an expert. I was bullied, and I am a professional communicator. Bullying is an example of one of the worst forms of communications. First, here's a definition of communications. And actually, I got it from the internet. Communication is the process of passing information and understanding from one person to another. And the internet goes on. In simple words, it is a process of transmitting and sharing ideas, opinions, facts, values, etc., from one person to another, or one organization to another. End quote. When you are bullied, you receive the message loud and clear. The information you get is, shut up. Don't talk. You are not important. Go away. Now, these are my words, because that is how I felt. I wasn't physically harmed, although I was denied physical support in the form of being denied a cart to haul gear or help with editing, shooting my videos, editing my workload. But I wasn't waterboarded or physically tortured. Still, I suffered. I did pass out once after shooting a video alone all day long in the hot sun. The video was on the university's solar house. The students were building it. It was unbelievably hot, and I worked all day long in the sun at a construction site. Then I went back to my office and I edited all night. We were on deadline for the students to submit the video as part of their project. I stayed because I cared about the students. I didn't get any help because they didn't care about the students. It was more important for them to bully me. After that day, I picked up my grandson at his other grandma's, and we drove through McD's and got ice cream sundaes. We were walking in the house, and I blacked out. Bam, I went down. My sundae flew all over the wall and the back door, and I landed in the kitty litter box. My grandson howled. He thought it was so funny. I left part of that sundae stain on the back door for a couple of months. It was just a smudge of red strawberry on the white door. I wanted to remember why I blacked out. It was because the bullies refused to give me any kind of support at work. I wanted to remember when I walked out the door to work each morning, not to care too much or work too long because I was alone. You can't succeed at work without a team. You learn that at management school. Most bullies either don't go to management school or they don't care to remember what they learned. Anthony's bully was the same as mine. I was an older woman when I was bullied. Anthony was a young man. Bullies don't care about age. They are just mean. So here is Anthony's story.
I started working there when I was out of high school, so I was 17. And she was always kind of, I don't even know the word. I guess she was always rude. But as the years went on, it got progressively worse to the point where I started to feel negative about myself. I would consider myself kind of smart. She was very belittling. She would make you feel like you were the dumbest person on earth. And, you know, dealing with that for so long, you kind of start to, like, believe it. Like, wow, maybe I'm not good enough. Maybe I'm not as smart as I thought I was. Maybe I'm not capable of doing, like, simple tasks. It was, yeah, Exactly. 17 to like my early 20s. My job, we set up sports for kids. So it was her job to, we would get people to sign up for our sports programs, and she would be in charge of putting them on teams and getting the jerseys sent out to the coaches that are going to be coaching those teams. And I would have to make rosters. I would have to put all the kids on teams, make sure that they were even. And she would want it done a certain way. So she would tell me to do it one way, so I would do it. But then in the middle of me doing it the way that she asked, she then thought of a better way to do it, but she wouldn't communicate that to me and tell me she wanted it done this way. So then she would look at my work and then she would say, why'd you do it this way? And then I would say, well, you told me to do it this way, so I did it. Is it wrong? And she goes, well, yeah, I wanted it done this way. And I said, how come you didn't tell me? And then she would say, well, it's common sense. Her favorite thing to say was, don't assume. And she would put emphasis on the A-S of assume to make an ass out of yourself. That was her inadvertently saying, like, don't be an ass. Like, don't make those mistakes anymore. Like, don't be stupid. She would run a softball tournament. That was her thing. She would run a big, huge softball tournament. So we would have coaches come into our office and they would give us like really like heavy checks. And I would have to take the checks, write, give them a receipt, put them in a safe that we have at work. At the end of the day, at 5, she would collect them, and then the coaches that paid, she'd make sure that they had a set time to play at the softball tournament. Well, one day, a coach came in really late, like 5 minutes before 5 o'clock when we close. And I wanted to leave, and I admit I was rushing, so I took the check, gave him a receipt, whatever, and I didn't put it in the safe. I put it in the drawer. That's not where they're supposed to go. So her and her daughter, and that's like another thing with nepotism and all that. We can get into that later. But they were working on teams because I guess the tournament was Sunday and it was Friday. And Saturday, the coach noticed that he wasn't on a team. And it was because she didn't know where the check was because I didn't put it in the safe. Where did they go? And she sends me a big old nasty long text message saying that the coach got upset with her and I made her look like a fool. I need to get better at being more responsible and make sure to put the check in the safe. And it was just like a really nasty long text message. And then I apologized. I felt really bad because then she said that she had to stay later at work and redo the teams. And she made me feel like really bad. And I felt bad because yes, I messed up, and I apologized to her. Then the next day when I come in Monday and the work week starts, she wouldn't talk to me. She would come out to, because her office was in the back and I was in the front. Whenever she had to come to the front, she wouldn't look at me. She wouldn't talk to me. A woman came in and wanted to register her child for our soccer program. Well, our soccer program hadn't started and all the new forms on her computer. So I went up to her and I said, this woman wants to sign up for soccer. Can you print out a form? She goes, well, you can do that. And I was like, no, I can't because all the forms are on your computer. You have them. And she goes, whatever, I'll just take care of it. And I was like, okay. From Monday through Friday, she just wouldn't talk to me. Wouldn't talk to me, was short with me, ignored me when I would try to ask her questions. It was horrible. She wasn't a good boss. Like, that's not what a boss should do. Like, if she was upset with me for what I did, that's fine. But when we come to work, be a boss. Like, communicate with me, talk to me. Like, don't be rude and petty and short with me. Like, that's not what a boss should do. Like, if she had a problem, we could have talked about it. Like, she could have, no, she would never, no, because what she likes to do is if she gets upset with you, she would rather make your life miserable to where you would get so fed up that you would want to like quit and leave instead of like trying to resolve the problem.
Did she do it to other people?
Oh, she did it to other people. Plenty, not just me. So that's why I didn't take it as personal, because I knew that's how she was. So I obviously it hurt my feelings and it didn't make working there any easier, but I didn't take it as personal because I was like, okay, it's not just me. She does this too. She's done it to other people before too.
How would she punish you or bully you with your work hours and such?
She started to hire a lot of her family. First it was her daughter. Then she hired her son. Then she hired her son's fiance. And it was like every couple of months, new people would come in her family. And every single time someone would come in, my jobs would get less. So I was in charge of like updating the website that went to her son. Then I was in charge of emailing. I was in charge of sending mass emails to people to advertise for our programs. Then that went to her son's fiance. So it's like I started to just get less and less work. And I couldn't do anything about it because that was their job now. Pay was a little bit less, but hurt my hours, because then I would work there, but then I wouldn't have a lot to do. So I would get done within like maybe the first couple hours I was there, and then I wouldn't have anything to do. So I would ask other people, do you need help? Do you need me to do something? And they would say no. And then I kind of just like would sit there and answer emails or answer phone calls. But it got to the point where I was kind of like bored at work because I didn't have a lot to do. When my hours were being cut, she would, because she would always print out my schedule of like when she wanted me to work. And I noticed, like I said, as the months went on and she started hiring her family members, it would get less and less. She said, I know you don't have a lot of hours, but I feel like you've been working here for so long that you have a lot of money saved in your bank account. You have a lot in your savings. So I didn't think it really mattered that you would be okay. What gives you the right to make that decision for me?
Do you think that she was just trying to get you to quit?
I think so. That's what it seemed like to me.
But she didn't want to.
She wouldn't fire me. She wouldn't fire me because I feel like I don't think she likes conflict, and she didn't want to even have to deal with that. So she'd rather you make the first move, and she wants you to quit so that it's not her responsibility to make you, to fire you or whatever. She doesn't want to have to deal with that. Very passive aggressive. Yeah, that's her to a T, passive aggressive. Instead of, like I said, communicating with you to try to resolve the conflict and like try to like make it not as awkward and like just fix it and be a team, because we're a team. She wouldn't do that. She'd rather be passive aggressive. She'd rather be petty. She'd rather not talk to you. She'd rather make your life miserable and just like want you to quit and leave. That way she doesn't have to deal with you anymore. I feel like it affected my confidence in my ability to work. And then when I was dealing with that, I tried to, you know, look for other jobs and do the interview process. And that in itself gives me anxiety. But then dealing with her, it's like, am I good enough to even get this job? Like, maybe question my work effort. Like, I don't think I'm qualified. I'm not good enough. I'm not smart enough to be able to, you know, handle this new job or whatever. It definitely affected my confidence. Got to the point where I didn't want to go to work. Like, at first it was enjoyable. Like, I was excited about having a new job and it was cool. And then it got to the point where I wasn't even excited to go to work anymore. Like, I didn't want to have to deal with her. I didn't want to have to listen to her. It was like, I dreaded it. I dreaded going. And then, you know, then you go home and it's like, okay, cool. I don't have to deal with her anymore. And then I would get happy. But then the prospect of having to go back the next day, it's like, great. I have to deal with this all over again.
Did she do this to other people?
Mm-hmm.
Just you?
Yeah, she did it to other people.
What'd they do?
They left. They would leave and get a new job. And the thing is with her, they would always start off as friends. She likes to hire people that she knows. So they would always start off as friends, and then something would happen and they wouldn't be friends anymore because of how she is and how she is as a boss and as a person. And then they would just leave and get a new job or whatever. And then, like, I don't think the people, like, they don't speak to each other, like, to this day, I don't think, because there's just, like, too much beef between them. I did have a friend that tried to take her down, like, took her to HR, especially after stories that I told about her that have nothing to do with like how she treated me, but disgusting comments she would make about other people, other races of people, I should say. And I would hear her say that, and I kind of regret that I didn't go forward to HR and say something, because maybe I could have made a difference if something could have happened. But yeah, there was one girl that tried to get her, wanted justice, wanted her to like suffer some consequences, because she had been doing this for who knows how long. She was there, I don't even know when she started, but she was there for so long. And it's like, for her to treat people that way and for her to never suffer any consequences, it's, you want her to pay for what she did.
I asked Anthony what advice he has for other workers who feel they are being bullied.
I would say stick up for yourself, but then it's all circumstantial, because you fear that if you do come forward and try to say something and stick up for yourself, that it'll jeopardize your job and they'll just get upset with you and just fire you. And then and that's the fear of people. It's like they don't want to say anything because then they have the fear of getting fired because their boss has that power over them. I don't know. I personally, from my experience, I regret not saying something and sticking up for myself earlier, because I feel like maybe if I did, maybe she would respect me, and then we would have been able to work as a team, and it would have been a better work environment. But instead, I just would get so overwhelmed with like my emotions that I just wouldn't say anything, because it's like it's easier to just not even say anything and just shut my mouth and just do whatever I'm supposed to be doing. I don't know. That's a good question. I don't have an answer. It's hard. I feel like if you are in that situation and it's affecting your mental health and, you know, you're unhappy, that you have every right to leave and find something else. But again, it's not people, because of their circumstances in life, they can't afford to do that.
But quitting a job you like is almost like letting the bully win.
Exactly. You don't want them to win. That's a good point. You don't want them to win. You don't want to give them the satisfaction that they allowed you to be taken to that point where you want to quit or whatever. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Exactly. I'm good now. I'm happy. She's gone. She had something with her health, so she's not there anymore. The office is thriving. We're doing fine without her. So in the end, I guess I won.
You could read all of Anthony's story in my book, Targeted by Work Bullies, Stories from Hell. It's available on Amazon, in Kindle, or in print. I'm designing t-shirts, and I'm going to be giving them away as part of a podcast book promotion. Stay tuned for that. Something to look forward to. In our next podcast, we will hear Pearl's story. Don't miss it. I'm Gloria Moraga. Turn off your cell phone and talk to somebody today. Anybody. One-on-one.